Glory to God, we are so appreciative of all that worked and helped on this. Amen. Well, are you ready for the Word of God tonight?
Yes.
Praise God. I'm ready to get started. How about you? Glory to God. Good to have you with us. If you're with us online, hallelujah. Always check that. Always, you know, you don't see my name personally because I'm one of the, it's not me personal, but one of the managers of the website. So I'm always checking on there and putting hearts and so forth, seeing that you saw it. But, and I know others don't make comments. I might not myself. But anyway, we're glad to have you as always. Praise God. So let's begin tonight in Mark chapter 16. Mark the 16th chapter. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse number 15. This is, of course, known as the Great Commission. And he, that's Jesus, said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. The signs follow those who believe, not just the apostles, but those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up, or if they take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:3 says, God has blessed us with everybody say every. With every spiritual blessing in Christ. There's no spiritual blessing that we need that has not been given to us. Isn't that wonderful to know? Praise God. Well, if that's so, and it is so, then we ought to have these blessings. I said we ought to have these blessings. And the way we have these blessings is by, first of all, knowing what belongs to us, and then, number two, by appropriating them by faith. So we are looking at some of these blessings on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. On Wednesday nights, we're particularly looking at healing because healing is one of those spiritual blessings that belongs to us. And so we wanted to do more than just one session on healing. So on Sundays, we're talking about the different things that belong to us. But then on Wednesday nights for two or three or four or five, we're talking specifically about healing. And in looking at these, at healing, we're looking at eight things we need to know. Eight things that every believer needs to know about divine healing. These eight things will help us tremendously in receiving. See, you need to know what belongs to you, but you want to receive what belongs to you. So these eight things will help us tremendously. Amen. Glory to God. Sometimes people don't know these things, fail to get healed. In other words, they know two or three of these things, but all of a sudden one thing becomes an aha moment for them. Oh, I didn't know that. And they can look at that and say, oh, now I realize why it didn't work. It should have worked. Now I see it, praise God. And many people who pray for the sick, especially in a large meeting, they would like to be able to go over all eight of these things in depth before they prayed for the sick, but they can't. Now, I don't mean not everybody, because a lot of times people are, you know, that are have mass meetings and praying for the sick, sometimes they themselves don't understand fully all that. You know, they have a special gift, or they're operating in the anointings of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and they don't understand all of these things themselves sometimes. But people, a lot of people say, like our brother Hagin, he would have loved to just spent 6 or 7 hours teaching on these things before he prayed for the sick. But how many of you know that's not feasible? And you can't do that service after service, because it would take hours and hours to adequately explain these things. But as a pastor of a local church, we can do that. Amen. We can do that. And some explain some things to people. Amen. And make sure they understand it properly. You just can't throw something out there. And you know, if you say something like, you know, if you got sin in your life, you're not going to be healed. Well, 3/4 of the crowd that come up to be prayed for are going to think, that's me. I've got sin in my life. That's why I didn't get healed. No, you have to explain some things about righteousness and teach on righteousness and teach on forgiveness and teach on, you know, all kind of things and so forth and so on. Amen. But again, we can take our time with these things and talk about these things. So, healing belongs to us, and we're looking at eight things to know, eight things you need to know about healing. And we said, number one, you need to know it's God's will to heal you, because healing is in God's plan of redemption. Jesus healed us on the cross at Calvary. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 53. Amen. Matthew 8:16-17. 1 Peter 2:24. And Galatians 3:13. Hallelujah. Now, let me pass out something to you. John and Dean, would you do this? I've got something for you. You know, one of the reasons we know that healing is in redemption is because, Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed Amen. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we know that under the curse of the law was sickness and disease. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree or is who is crucified on the cross. Talking about Jesus, in other words. So on the cross, Jesus redeemed us from every curse. Well, as you go back and look at the curse of the law, you'll see different things mentioned. You know, plagues and consumption and fever and inflammation and extreme burning and mildew and the botch of Egypt. Well, most people don't know what the botch of Egypt is. Amen. And so what Keith has done is on those, and there's other scriptures in the Bible that talk about other things that you're healed of, but he has taken those different words. They go back a lot, like, and then, you know, like the botch of Egypt, that could, Rotherham translates that as burning sores. You know, the Knox Smith translates that as scabs, you know, inflammatory disease, ulcer, glory to God. So you can see all these different things from these different translations where you can see specific diseases like emrods. Well, that don't mean much to us, but tumors mean something to us, doesn't it? Emrods represents tumors and ulcers and all of those kind of things. Glory to God. So that's just for your study, just to help you receive your healing, just to help you minister healing to others. And so that's on front and back both pages. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of all those different diseases that you see listed there. And of course, it finally says in every sickness and every disease, even those not named, praise God. And so we know it's God's will. We know it's God's will to heal, because healing is plan of redemption. We talked about that. And then we said we need to know, very important, we need to know the difference between God supernaturally initiating something and man initiating healing by using his own faith. Thank God for special manifestations of the Spirit. Thank God for gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for people that are used with and have a healing anointing and for those men and women to come along and to pray for the sick. But you don't have to. And you should not wait for some person to come along with a special gift or an anointing to come along or a gift of the Spirit to come along and just do without in the meantime. Thank God for all these type of things. But any and every believer can at any time use their faith and receive the healing that belongs to them because of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Like the woman with the issue of blood, you can go and touch the hem of his garment and receive your own healing. Anybody can do that. Amen. And Jesus told several people in his ministry on the earth, your faith has made you whole. We see people that came to Jesus. He didn't go to them. They came to Jesus. And Jesus looked at them and said, your faith has made you whole. Or be it unto you, even as you have believed. Thank God for that. Praise God. Now tonight, we want to deal with another thing that you need to know about divine healing, which is extremely important. Amen. Some people don't know this. Some people know it, but maybe they've forgotten it. But number three in our list is this. Know that healing is not always instant. Know that healing is not always instant. Listen to me. Millions of people, without exaggeration, I'm talking about just say, I mean, you know, we don't know what happened in the 5th century and 6th century and 8th century and 12th century, too much. But just in the last 150 years, many people over the years, millions undoubtedly, watch this, have been prayed for. Somebody prayed for them. Somebody agreed with them. Somebody laid hands on them. Somebody anointed them with oil. And the power of God to heal went into their body. Now listen, but because they didn't see something or feel something different, they thought and believed and said, I didn't get anything. I guess I didn't get healed. And when they did, they short-circuited and stopped the power of God from working. I'm not talking about, they stood there and said, no, now I got to stand in faith. No, they just thought, well, if you get healed, then you instantly feel it. You instantly know it. And that's just not true. And it really, it's very sad. And, you know, as we say in the natural, it really breaks your heart that millions of believers did not get healed and suffered because of it. And some of them went on to suffer for many, many years, and some of them even died because of some disease, just because they thought the healing had to be instant. And when it didn't instantly happen, when they didn't see anything instantly, they quit believing, and when they did, it stopped the whole process. Healing is not always instant. Are you listening to me? Amen. When someone is prayed for to be healed, you know, hands laid on them, anointed with oil, whatever, or when they use their faith to receive healing, you can't always tell what has happened. You can't always see that something has happened, but that does not mean that something didn't happen. Matter of fact, if hands were laid on them in faith, something in fact happened. Glory to God. And then sometimes we need to realize sometimes healings are gradual. Now, I never saw this before, Margaret. Listen to this. Sometimes the healing is gradual, and sometimes it's just not apparent the healing has taken place. I never saw that, but I saw that today. I'm really talking about two different things. Sometimes the healing is gradual, and sometimes it's just not apparent that the healing has taken place. But the healing has taken place. It's just not apparent. So what do I mean by that? Well, you know, again, two things. You could be healed, but it not be apparent. Someone is healed like Brother Hagin. Well, you know, he was healed of some very serious stuff. I mean, five different doctors told him he was going to die. I use his example because we're familiar with it. You know, he had a deformed heart. Actually, everything in his body cavity right here was deformed and messed up. He had an incurable blood disease, and he had paralysis. He's 6'2", and he only weighed 89 pounds. Now imagine a 16-year-old that's 6'2", and only weighs 89 pounds. And so, you know, when he was healed by the power of God, he did, you know, manage to stand up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're like, because he had, you know, that at this point and stage of his particular disease, he said that, you know, they would prop a big Bible in his bed because he wanted to read the Bible. And he said, only in the morning would I be, he said, sometimes I'd only be able to do this early in the morning, but by just 10 o'clock or so, he said, it just all disappeared, all went black. I couldn't do anything. And he said, sometimes just to turn the page, he said, I would have to concentrate and look at that Bible and think about it and move my hand. It might take me 10 minutes just to turn one page. And so when he stood up, you could certainly see something there. But, you know, if you listen closely to his testimony or know anything about it, he's healed, amen. But it took a while for him to get his full strength back and for him to be back to normal. I mean, he got up and stood up, praise God, and thank God he's healed. But then he went back to bed because he's tired and he's weak and frail. But he's been healed by the power of God. Glory to God. I mean, you know, somebody might go in for surgery. I mean, just in the natural, they might go in for surgery and the doctor comes out and says, look, we were moved. We took out what was wrong 100%. We know that we got it, and he in fact did get it. You know, time goes on. They never have no problem with it. He says, we know we got it. This operation was a success. We got it. The disease is not causing any problems for that body any longer. That disease is gone. But that person may not jump out of bed and dance a jig, had they? No, they're weak. You know, that disease is not doing whatever diseases do to the blood and to the bone and to the, you know, the rest of the organs and so forth. But they're you know, it takes a while for them to get their color back, as we say. It takes a while for them to get their strength back. But they are healed. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, your leg, your arm, a muscle, your back, you could be prayed for and you can be 100% healed. Amen. But because of a lack of use, that arm hadn't been used very much, or that muscle hadn't been used very much, you know, it may take a while for it to return to normal. Somebody says, yeah, but in the Bible there were people like this. I mean, like the lame man, you know, we read about him in Acts chapter, 3? The lame man was carried to the gate they called Beautiful in the temple every day and was laid there to beg alms. You remember that story? And he was, it says that he was there from his mother's womb. And when Peter prayed for him, he instantly jumped up, stood up, and went into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. What about that? Well, that happens, and praise God for it. Can you say amen? Amen. But you have to understand the difference between a healing and a miracle. Or a healing, better I might say, combined with a miracle. The man was healed by the power of God, but it took a miracle in the truest sense of the word for his legs to instantly be made strong and for him to know how to walk. See, he had never walked his entire life. And it took a miracle for him to know how to walk and to jump up without stumbling and to jump and leap and praise God. And actually, in Acts chapter 4, verse 16, talking about his healing, it called it a notable miracle. a notable miracle. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. That was a miracle. It was a sign and a wonder that God's power was with the early disciples. God's power was on Peter and John and the believers, and the message they taught was the truth. In Acts chapter 14, you can look there if you want, but in Acts chapter 14, verse number 8, we see another healing miracle. And people use these terms different ways, but just because somebody, I mean, anytime you get an answer to prayer, it's miraculous. I don't care if you play for a good place to park at the shopping mall. If you prayed that and God heard your prayer and caused a shopping a place to open up, then that's miraculous. But a miracle in the truest sense of the word means the laws of nature are suspended, like you walk on water. Amen. Praise God. If somebody that doesn't have an arm and it grows out, that's not a healing. There was nothing to heal. That's a miracle. You understand? Praise God. And sometimes healing and miracles kind of work in conjunction with one another. So in Acts chapter 14, I said 14 verse 8, excuse me. I think I said 18. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. A cripple from his mother's womb, who had never, a man, not a child, not a teen, a man who had never walked from his mother's womb. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, amen. That man was healed, and miraculously, it was a miracle that a person who had never walked, who had never used those legs, you know, if your arm can be perfectly good and you put it up against your side right here and just let it stay there for 9 months, and when they undo you, you won't be able to move that arm, you know, because it's you understand, were they atrophied? Amen. But this man who had never walked, who had never used his legs, jumped up and leapt and walked. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. I think a good illustration of this is, I saw Brother Copeland, and I don't know if, I wasn't live at this meeting, so I'm watching him on TV or I'm watching a video, but at his meeting, he is showing a video of a lady that he has prayed for. Now, you know, he's just praying for lots of people. They're just walking across the stage, actually, and he's praying for them, they're walking off, and he's laying hands on them, they're walking off. So he prayed for this one lady. And so she got to the other end of the auditorium, and she stopped. She obviously couldn't walk or move very good. And she began to take off. He didn't tell her to do it. She began to take off braces off her neck, braces off her back, and even some braces off her leg. They clanked all. And I mean, when she took those things off, she was wobbling around. She didn't look good. She couldn't. The ushers immediately came to try to rescue and help her because she looked like she was just going to fall flat on her face. But Brother Copeland, by the Spirit, told those ushers, he said, "Don't touch her! Don't touch her!" And he said, he encouraged the lady to walk to him. And I mean, two or three times, she liked to fail. And again, he'd have to say, "Don't touch her," because they were trying to help her. And she stumbled and struggled all the way across that, you know, really not that many feet, but struggled to get to Brother Hagin. I mean, to get to Brother Copeland. Amen. Now, so he shows that. Of course, the crowd in that original meeting was rejoicing, and this crowd was rejoicing. He said, "Now you saw that, and you saw her acting on her faith. Let me," and see, this just happened, I don't know, 2 months before, 3 months before. He said, "Let me show you to her, let me introduce you to her tonight." And he introduced her, and here comes this beautiful lady, tall and straight, big high heels on, and she just walked across the platform perfectly. Glory to God, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. See, that's somebody, see, she was healed, but she might have been able to struggle like that before she was healed. But this was somebody that she got, in other words, it wasn't apparent that she was healed, but she was healed. Glory to God, totally. And it was evidenced sometime later as she walked perfectly across that stage. So sometimes it's just not apparent the healing has taken place, but in fact, nothing else needs to happen. Amen. You can readily see. You can't readily see any change or much of a change. You know, you got some disease in your body. You believe you're healed, and you can't. You don't. But you are healed. Glory to God. And you certainly can't, you know, the disease has been dealt a death blow. That's what I mean. It's been dealt a death blow. Some function, some body part, some function has been healed. And that's just in the natural. You certainly can't see what takes place in the spirit realm. You can't see a demon spirit that caused the, this is an obvious one, you can't see a demon spirit that caused the affliction leave somebody's body. Or the devil and his forces back off. And other things. Amen. So you may not see the results of the healing instantly. Glory to God. But either way, if faith was released, the healing power of God went into you and it is working. So don't stop the power of God by believing and saying, because you don't see anything or feel anything, don't stop the power of God by saying, well, I guess nothing happened. I mean, if it was God, it would be readily evident. That's not true. I've had, you know, just simple things, but, you know, you got to, when you have a fever, it ain't so simple. Look, when I was diagnosed with cancer, most of the time it didn't make me feel as bad as having a fever made me feel. You know, you got 102 fever. Now, sometimes I had that associated with the problem, but, you know, you got 102, 103 fever, you feel horrible. I've had a fever before, and I prayed and believed I received my healing, and nothing happened for 5 minutes. Then all of a sudden, it began to get better. But after the first 10 seconds, I could have said, well, I knew that wasn't going to work. You always wonder why people, you pray for them, they go, well, I didn't think that was going to work. Well, why'd you have me pray for you in the first place? Be it unto you according to your faith. You know. Here's, I want to give you a couple of examples. I've used this example many times. You know, we cut down Christmas trees, live trees, Christmas trees, and when we put them in our house, and they look alive, don't they? Matter of fact, we want them to look alive. And they look alive for a long time. We've even learned to put them in pots where we add water to them, and that water will actually, you know, whatever abracadabra happens in the water flows up and keeps it looking green. And we sprinkle some kind of stuff into the water sometimes. But how many of you know the second you cut through that limb, it is dead as a doornail? And no matter how hard we try, within, you know, a certain amount of time, everybody is going to know it's dead as a doornail. But when it's brown and crumpled and leaves are falling off and it's sitting out at the curb or sitting out in your driveway for the garbage man to pick it up, that's not the day it died. The second they cut through it, it was dead, as we say, as a doornail that day. But it wasn't apparent it was dead. Matter of fact, you could be coming to my house and I'd say, oh, I want to dress up my driveway here. And I could put 5 or 6 dead trees with stumps in my yard where they were all green looking. You'd go, oh, look at that nice tree he's got in his yard. But they would be dead. So they are dead. Now listen, that's an example of the two things. We're talking about sometimes healings are gradual. And sometimes, no, they're not gradual. But even though they're not gradual, you still don't see instant results. But then sometimes they're gradual. Now, this is from F.F. Bosworth. Watch this. Someone may ask, how can I say that I'm healed when I see the disease in the body and am conscious of pain? There's an illustration in nature sometimes given which makes the truth clearer. One method of killing a tree is to girdle it. And when we see a tree girdle, we think of it as a dead tree. Still, its foliage is fresh and green for a while and give evidence of life. The natural eye sees life. Now, you have to understand what a girdle tree is, because that may be different than what you think. A girdle tree is when you go and you take a tree and you go to the bottom of the tree, and say it's a tree this big around, and you cut out a notch about that big, and you do the whole circumference of the tree, and you just knock off the entire bark. I don't know what you call it once you get past the bark, but you get past the bark and you just do a complete circle. When you do that, everything above that circle will gradually die. You can have a big limb at your house. Maybe you don't have a saw. Maybe you don't have a chainsaw. And you can, you know, a limb that's that big around. And again, maybe 3 inches wide, cut it all the way around it, go all the way around it, all the way down to the bone, so to speak. You know, get off the bark, and you do it, and that everything above that will die. But it doesn't die instantly. But the second you do it, it begins to die. Are you listening to me? Praise God. So he says, its foliage is fresh and green for a while and give evidence of life. The natural eye sees life. The mind's eye, which has knowledge beyond what nature beholds, sees death. In time, the leaves wither and fall, and death, which the mind's eye saw from the very beginning, becomes manifest to the senses. So it is when we're taking healing for the body. As we claim the word of promise in faith, receiving a finished work, the sword of the Spirit strikes a death blow to the disease. For a little time, symptoms may remain, but the eye of faith, which beholds the crucified one, sees disease canceled and health giving, and calling those things which be not as though they were. The new life is manifested in the body. That which the eye of faith saw from the first, as the truth becomes manifest to the senses. Faith sees God in His love and omnipotence making good the word. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So to me, that emphasizes the two things I'm talking about. You may not see anything yet, but like a Christmas tree that's been cut, the disease, the sickness is dead. And it was instant, but it was not seen, even though it was instantly killed. And sometimes, like a girded tree, the problem, the disease, the sickness has been dealt a death blow. And your healing will gradually become more and more apparent. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 16, it says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Rick Renner says, not just this word recover, but the way that the particular word used here for sick, he said both of these words have to do with a process. And he says a good translation of this in the Greek would be, they shall progressively feel themselves getting better and better until finally they are well and healthy. They shall progressively feel themselves getting better and better until finally they are well and healthy. He goes on to say that lets us know that all healings do not occur instantly. You remember the nobleman's son that was healed? He asked, he said, when did he get healed? And they said, he began to get better. He began to amend. In other words, he began to convalesce. And he said, well, that's the same time Jesus spoke the word. The fever broke and he began to get better. Amen. The 10 lepers, even under the ministry of Jesus, says they were healed as they went. Glory to God. When it was a process when Jesus spit on the ground and made a clay mud pie and put it on that man's eyes and told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. That was a process. Glory to God. Amen. Now, here's an article by John G. Lake. John G. Lake in the 20th century, you know, the 1900s, you know, nobody was more mightily used than John G. Lake. Again, we don't know what happened in the 12th century that much, not really, but since the Apostle Paul and Peter, nobody was more mightily used than a John G. Lake. And so John G. Lake, in answering the question, this is one of his daily devotions, is healing by process or instantaneous? And he says, God does not always heal instantaneously. Jesus' miracles of healings were not always instantaneous. Healing takes place by process as well as instantly. Recall when Jesus prayed for the blind man and asked, what do you see? The blind man said, I see men as trees walking. Then Jesus ministered to him the second time and he saw clearly. Let us reason. A tubercular person is consumed of the disease. Healing may come at once or it may come over a period of time. The returning weight and fullness of health is the evidence that the healing is real. Jesus, in cursing the fig tree, did not kill it instantly. It dried up from the roots. The death stroke dealt the tree by Jesus was effectual and complete. He struck the root. The leaves withered by process. But if you'd have been standing there, it would have not have been apparent that the tree was dead. But was it dead? Amen. it would never again produce fruit. At one time, I was a rheumatic cripple. When healing came to me on a wave of divine power, my pains departed gradually. I was well in 5 days. This is healing by process. Later, I was stricken with blindness and was healed instantly when Mrs. Robert Brown of Glad Tidings Missions of New York prayed for me. There we have the two forms of healing. In one, the disease is stricken at the roots and it's evidence in the body, whether by process, for the source of its being has been destroyed. In the instantaneous healings, the disease was expelled from the body by the divine power, root and branch, and the sick one becomes whole on the spot. Under my ministry, healings of both types are constantly taking place. In some cases, 30 days pass from the time of prayer until the last evidence of disease has vanished. However, I believe instantaneous healings are in the majority in my own ministry. And they were. Glory to God. Now, I want to show you something here. Man, this is something. Where is that? Oh, I don't have it. But I know it. Lake actually said and felt like that sometimes, listen to me carefully, he said and felt like that sometimes instant healings were a curse and not a blessing. Because, he said, some people get healed, go away, and forget God. He believes that people who were gradually healed, they stayed with God, they depended on God, they stayed hooked up to God, they grew through the process, they learned how to use their faith. They could see they were getting better and better as they stayed hooked up to God and used their faith and walked with God. And he said that became an invaluable lesson for them for the rest of their lives. I cannot tell you how many testimonies I've heard of. I can think of two or three Brother Harold's told me about, you know, because they're out in the workplace, him and Junior, and you hear about them and others here in the body pray for somebody and they get healed by the power of God, but they'll talk about somebody and somebody's sick, and so, you know, they're not going to church very much, but they'll, I want you to come. Yeah, I want you to pray for me. And they begin to seek God, and they go to church for 2 or 3 weeks, and they walk into a hospital room, lay hands on them, and the person is healed by the power of God. And 3 weeks later, they've forgotten all about God, don't go to church anymore, and isn't that interesting? Here's this man of God that's used as much as anybody in the last 2,000 years in the healing ministry, saying that in some cases, I think instant healings are a curse because people get what they need from God. And it's not just getting healed. We've all seen it. It's getting all kind of things that they need from God. Instead of being eternally grateful, they just walk away from God. He said, but when they have to hang on to God and hold on to God and, you know, and stick with it, then that becomes an invaluable lesson to them. And then F.F. Bosworth put it this way. Now notice what he's talking about here. Get this in the context. He's saying this of those who received healing, who received their healing by standing in faith and by calling themselves well despite their symptoms. Have you ever got healed by standing in faith? Have you ever got healed when you said, I am healed, and it didn't look like you were healed? Of course you have. Have you ever stood in faith, you know, and your healing was gradual? Or maybe, you know, it wasn't apparent that you were healed. He's addressing these comments to those kind of people. He says, listen, he said, we thank God for the thousands who have made that great spiritual development while receiving healing in this way. The process of faith which brings the healing is far greater than the blessing of healing itself. Okay, don't look at me like a calf at a new gate. This is Wednesday night Bible study and your Bible scholars. He said, in other words, he said, you using your faith and using it to receive the healing was far more valuable to you than the healing itself. Many throughout the scriptures became famous for faith as a result of seeking God for what we call some temporal blessing. When we have learned the process of faith for receiving our healing, we have learned how to receive everything else God promises in His Word. And you can use that same process over, on purpose, over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That was me. The church could win millions for the service of God and make them fighters of the good fight of faith by offering to them the healing of Christ that Christ purchased for them. May you, dear reader, by learning to be healed in this way, talking about by faith, advance into a life of faith and a life of usefulness in the kingdom of God. Man, isn't that good? I said, isn't that good? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, he's not belittling the healing. I mean, thank God for that. You know, Brother Hagin, and he could tell a 100 stories, but he said, healing is not always instant. Sometimes it's gradual. By not realizing this, sometimes we make a mistake and lose out with God. Someone once said to me, Brother Hagin, in Bible days, people always got healed instantly. I replied, what about the 10 lepers? The Bible says they were healed as they went. A woman wrote me, I came in your prayer line 10 months ago. When you laid hands on me, I fell under the power of God, but I didn't feel any different. I had a stroke that left me with no feeling in my left arm and leg, and I had to get around with the help of a crutch. I guess people didn't think I got healed because I was still on that crutch when I left the meeting. When I got about 2 blocks away from the church, suddenly a warm glow came through my leg and feeling was restored to my arm and leg. Now both are all right. Amen. Now, this is a little short article, and that's just one story he tells. He could tell 500 stories like that. A week later, 2 days later, 3 days later. Matter of fact, he said from the best they could tell, you know, he had an unusual anointing to get people healed of cancer as much as anybody I know of in the last 100 years. And most of those were 2 days later, 3 days later, it became apparent several days later, not the second he prayed for them. He goes on to say, the Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Sometimes it works that way. We need to know that healing is not always instant. When it's instant, thank God for it, but sometimes it's gradual. This is under the heading, the headline for this particular part of the article is, stay in faith. Stay in faith. That's why you need to stay in faith. That's why you need to stay in faith. That's why you need to stay in faith. Matter of fact, the expression that a lot of people have heard, keep the switch of faith turned on, came when he was ministering to somebody he had just ministered to somebody and a man's, something happened instantly, I forgot, the blind eyes were open, something like that, something very dramatic, something everybody could see. And a lady came up with their little child, and her legs were just, you know, this 4 or 5 year old baby, but the legs looked like 2 little sticks off a tree. You know, just pathetic. And he held the baby in his arms and he prayed for the baby, you know, and he said, in the name of Jesus, and gave it back to the mother, and, you know, you can't see anything, you know, and people are looking to see anything, and the mother's crying for her baby. So he stopped her and he said, listen, let me tell you something. He said, for what it's worth, because he's learned himself, this goes way back. He said, for what it's worth, he said, you saw that person that was just healed instantly, miraculously. He said, for what it's worth. He said, a stronger anointing just left my body to go into your child than went into that man. Think about that. And he said, he had never used that expression before, never said that before. He said, keep the switch of faith turned on. In other words, don't go back to your seat saying, oh my God, I was hoping this would be the night. I was hoping this would be the night. In other words, keep the switch of faith going on and say, bless God, my baby was healed. My baby was healed. In the name of Jesus, my baby received her healing. That baby was healed when Brother Hagin laid hands on her. In other words, the anointing of God went in, and it did. The power of God went into her, and in fact, it did. And she said, I believe that. And it was sometime later. I don't think it was that very night, but it was sometime later. She, you know, just not very long, but a couple of days later, she's bathing the child, and she, you know, it comes all over because it can't move its little legs in there or anything, and you know, she begins to well up and tears in her eyes, and she wants to just bawl and squall, but she caught herself and she said, no, in the name of Jesus, I keep the switch of faith turned on. My baby is healed. And she said it was like somebody started, you know, like you break a stick, it was like twigs just snapping and crackling and popping, and a baby's healed. And the baby was totally healed right there before her eyes. The baby was healed the night Brother Hagin laid hands on her. Her keeping the switch of faith turned on made the difference. Now, I guarantee you, wherever that child is today, whether they're still alive or in heaven, they don't care that it took 2 days. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is one reason the Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. When it comes to receiving this promise or any other promise. This is why the Bible tells us that through faith and patience, and of course the word patience there in the Greek and the Hebrews, the word patience there means you don't quit believing because of the circumstances. You don't quit believing because of the pressure of the situation. You don't quit believing because you can't see any apparent change. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Not just by faith, but by faith and patience, which is faith that doesn't quit. This is why the Bible says, cast not away your confidence, your faith. Cast not away your confidence so that you may receive the promise. And I absolutely love Hebrews 11:23. You know, it says, let us hold fast our confession of faith. Some modern translations say, let us hold fast our confession of hope. But if you look it up and study it out, I like the UBS Greek Bible study says that this is properly to be translated, let us hold fast our confession of faith in the unshakable things we hoped for. Let us hold fast our confession of faith in the unshakable things we hoped for without wavering. In other words, keep the switch of faith turned on. Why? For he who promised is faithful to keep his word. Let us hold fast our confession of faith in the unshakable things we hope for without wavering, for he who promised is faithful to keep his word. Hallelujah. Power of God. God heard and answered your prayer. The power of God went into you when you prayed. The power of God went into you when hands were laid on you. The power of God went into you when you were anointed with oil. Now keep the switch of faith turned. It may have killed it instantly. It's just not apparent. Or it may be gradual. Either way, you're healed. So hold fast your confession of faith. So know. Everybody say know. That when faith is released for your healing, the power of God went into you and it is working. I know a well-known Bible teacher that's a teacher at Rhema, and he says, I'm absolutely convinced that if you were prayed for in faith, that anointing's still in you. It just needs to be activated. But when faith is released for your healing, the power of God went to you and it is working and you are healed or the process has started. So whether you instantly recognize it or not, you are healed. Can you say amen? Amen? Now the Bible says, pray one for another that you may be healed. So I feel impressed. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. Praise God. You know, we had wonderful testimonies of people that were healed last Wednesday night. People called us. People talked to us. Sunday morning, you know, we said, how many were healed? You know, not just two or three hands went up, but a crowd about like this, you know, and about that many hands went up. You know, Tony is in the hospital right now, Tony Jenkins. Pray one for another that you may be healed. I prayed, but we want to pray one for another that you may be healed. Tony was having, you know, chest pains and high blood pressure and all that goes with that. And so he went to Denova, and I talked to him just about less than 2 hours ago, I think. And he said, well, I fail my stress test and I fail my scan, whatever kind of. And he said, so they believe that, you know, my heart is not functioning near to what it should be functioning. He said, they even suggest that it's possible I had a heart attack and just don't realize it. Or he said, but most likely, not, they don't know for sure, but most likely he has some sort of blockage. And, you know, they need to do the stent. Angioplasty, yes. he said, and they also came in and told me that my insurance doesn't work here at Tenova. He's got insurance, but they said it didn't work here. And so they were trying to line me all up to have this with a surgeon to go in and all this kind of stuff. And I said, no way, I'm not staying here and y'all spend $25,000 on me and when I can go to some other hospital where they accept my insurance. So bottom line, they worked it all out for him to go to Erlanger, which has a good heart facility, and to Trent to send him home with some medication and so forth, and, you know, don't stress yourself out, don't pick up anything, you know. So perhaps by Friday morning, they will a surgeon will go in and you know, they don't really know until they get in there, you understand. Well, now, I know that in 2013, Tony got a similar report, and when they got in there, they said, there's nothing wrong with you. And Tony at that time felt like there was nothing wrong with him. I know a couple of times they've told Tony things were wrong with him, and either he got healed by the power of God before they had a chance to do so, and so when they started to do something about it, they said, well, nothing's wrong with you. But in talking with him this time, because he told me this yesterday, because this just happened, started yesterday, he told me yesterday, he said, you know, I felt in my heart, he said, I don't know, you know, you can miss it, but I kept hearing blockage, blockage. So what he said to me this afternoon, he says, I believe that I will be all right. He said, whether they get in there and find nothing or whether they need to do something, I believe I will be all right. Because, you know, in the natural, they could get in there and say, well, there's nothing wrong, you just got congestive heart failure. But he said, I believe I will be all right. And I said with you, well, buddy, I believe that too. You will be all right. Dr. Holsinger went in for a knee replacement. You know, he had other physical things going on with his hands and from the stroke and so forth. And this did not go near as well as they hoped. And so he was supposed to be in there and go home right away. But it's been complicated. And he had to stay in the hospital two or three nights. And they sent him to a rehab place and his not been going well in the natural. Linda McDowell had knee replacement. It's going well, but she wants to be restored, fully restored. I'm throwing these names out to you. Let one of them click in your heart. Glory to God. And then Pat Pickett's, you know, daughter, Kathy Thurman, her husband was diagnosed with COVID, and he hasn't been getting over it, but I believe he's okay. Her son, Chris is just a young man. I mean, Matthew, her husband's Chris. Matthew and I prayed for Chris at Hubert's funeral. And at the funeral, for Matthew, because he had this big lump in his arm. You know, you're just a kid, just big lump. And they, you know, they're concerned. You know, you got to think about your own son. They're concerned about cancer and all kind of things, and it doesn't look good, and he hasn't got very good initial reports. And I prayed for him, and tears welled up in his eyes. I'm telling the power of God went into him, and he knew it. He recognized that something happened. And I told him by the Spirit, I said, you're all right. You're all right. Don't worry about this. Of course, the family's got to go through the process, and it's your son, you know. And so he did get the biopsy, and they said it's not cancer. And they still had to go in and deal with this, and they don't really know what it is, and fix this, and still send it off. But I believe that he's totally okay by the Spirit. But nonetheless, the Bible says, pray one for another that you may be healed. I want us to pray for these. Yes. 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 Yes.
Probably due to diabetes, I don't know, but they cannot seem to clear it up, and she cannot function. She can't come to church.
No, that's a very serious thing. They get these infections, and it just,
absolutely.
It is terrible.
And she believes, she prays that she's healed, and so I want her to live today.
Yes. Glory to God. Well, all of these things we mentioned are things we've been redeemed from. Praise God. Hallelujah. I heard of a church one time, went for years and years and years, and there was nobody that didn't get healed. And they said, well, what's the deal? And they said, no, it's not through this or that. She said, if somebody gets sick at our church, the doors of their church, the little community, just always open. She said, people just come to the church. And they just come to the altar, and there'll be 5 people there, 10 people there, be going on and off all day long, and people will just pray for them. The body. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Pray one for another that you may be healed. And according to this testimony from a very reliable person, except for old age, you know, you're going eventually, they said, we never fail to get somebody healed. We just pray for one another. Kind of like us 25 years ago asking Margaret's dad about, well, what do you do at your church? You know, because you got churches do all kind of things, trying to figure out how to get food to people and take care of people. And he says, what do y'all do? Do y'all have a food ministry? He goes, no. He said, the whole church just automatically takes some food and does it. And, you know, whole community, much small. He said, Baptist church does it for the Methodists. Methodists do it for the Baptists. Somebody is in trouble, we just all help. Nobody has to call anybody. Of course, things work different in a small city. Anyway, let's pray for these. Pray one for another. Pray one for another. Lift them up. Tony, Doc, Chris Thurman, Linda McDowell,
Charlotte.
Praise God. Call one of those out by name and pray for them right now. Pray for them in the Holy Ghost. Pray for them. Praise God. Father, we thank you that healing belongs to Tony. We thank you that healing belongs and recovery belongs to Doc. and to Linda McDowell. We thank you that healing belongs to Chris Thurman, healing over this deadly virus, praise God. We thank you that it belongs to Matthew. Glory to God. I thank you that Matthew is whole and healed, that there's nothing cancerous in his arm, and that he is well and whole, and he's over this. I thank you that Tony will be all right. I agree with Tony that he will be all right in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For Charlotte, Father God, we curse this foul. Glory to God. This infection and all these things going on. Glory to God. We believe that she gets the help that she needs in the name of Jesus. Praise God. And we speak the word of God to her and we say, behold, be healed of this plague in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that Doc recovers. Be encouraged, Doc. Be encouraged in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be well and be healed and be strong in the name of Jesus. We pray for all of these that they be strengthened with all might in their inner body as they face these things, in their inner spirit, rather, by the Holy Spirit, in their spirit. They be strengthened with all might in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And we stand with them. We agree with them. We release our faith that they are well and healed and whole and totally recover in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the name of Jesus. Oh, Bidi Sidi Lamana Satala Mana Saralaba Kurandiki. Shalalaba Karisiti Levibi Andaleva Bakurandeleki. On Sadalaba Bakuran Sadaleva Bakurandelevibi Hihi. Abarasatalava Manosotolava Bakar, Randaleva Manoseki, Uredi Gidi, Anjadalava Mane, Jadalava Mana Satala Karateleka Resatileka Retigidi Andoko, Eresitilevibiandolava Manosotolava Bakar Retileka Rendiki. Christ has redeemed Chris Thurman from fever and inflammation and lung problems and any kind of disease of the lungs or any kind of plague caused by COVID, any kind of disease, any kind of problems with COVID, in the name of Jesus. He is well on his way to recovery. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And we say that these people get whatever help that they need. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, proper help, proper diagnosis. Glory to God. And proper help on the natural side. In the name of Jesus, we release our faith for them. In Jesus' name, Oberisiti Levibiande, Sadalaba Kuran, Sadalaba Bakaresa Tele Kurandiki. Now, I've released my faith for all of these, so I've been praying for them in faith, so I'm just leading you in prayer here. But pray one for another that you may be healed. Pray one for, I'm telling you, that's been going off in me for about 10 years now. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Pray, that's in James, you know. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Pray one for, there's something about the corporate body in compassion praying for one another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And about your own life, just say this. Say, when hands are laid on me, when I believed, I received the healing power of God. Went into me, and it is working. It is working. It is working. I am healed. And praise you, Father. Thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. But we'll continue along these lines. No, not next Wednesday, because the guys are, you know, the guys this year are just like four or five of them, because they all, you know, graduated and they're getting some new ones in. But we want to take care of those four. You know, they're in the process of recovery, you know, on a different level, you know, from other things. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so we want to support them, and we want to support Canaan Land in general. And then also, you know, bringing nine total, just forgot, but bringing nine total, so we want to minister, because some of the guys are still there from the past. But Brittany, you know, is about to marry Caleb, and we as a church have ordained her, because they're going to be in the ministry together. She's already preaching and teaching and leading, singing and so forth, and so we will have her ordination service, you know, just a 5 minutes, but we'll have her ordination service next Wednesday night. Amen? Amen. You want to say something? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that Tony is well, Father. We thank you that he's healed and whole and well, lives out his full number of days.
Some years ago, our church went on a motorcycle ride, and the weather was so threatening and dark and clouds and rain predicted, and everyone that I could hear was murmuring, it's going to rain, it's going to pour, it's not going to work, blah, blah, blah. A pastor stood in the pulpit, and he used his faith. And he said, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a clear day. It's going to be a sunny day. And so we go to church, and there are black clouds and gray and threatening rain. But he stood there in front of everybody and said, we were going to have good weather. So we're driving to church, and I see this little blue speck in the clouds. And I said, I believe I'll agree with Pastor Mark that this is going to be a beautiful sunshine day. And it was, because that's the power of agreement. It just takes two, and look, all of us agreeing together. It's powerful.
Amen.
So thank you, Pastor Mark. I'll never forget it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen, 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 amen. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. We love you. We love you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.